Luke chapter 12. I was going to read another little portion here, beginning with verse 1. Jesus deals with hypocrisy. Luke 12, beginning with verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, stepped on one another's feet, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. For when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And again, let's pray. Lord, we do commit this morning and your word and the expounding and the instruction and the understanding of your word. We ask, Lord, you'd open our hearts by your Spirit. Speak to us. Cause us to respond to you, Lord, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, it's interesting because, you know, Jesus doesn't warn us needlessly. When there's a take heed or a beware that comes from Jesus, we should take heed or beware. Because he's addressing something that's common and that creeps into man and us. It's interesting in verse 1, chapter 12, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, he says, which is hypocrisy. At the end of chapter 11, you know, we didn't really cover it. We kind of scooted over it. The last couple portions of chapter 11, he pronounces woes, you know, on the Pharisees. It means judgments. Woe to you, you Pharisees. And then he turns to the lawyers. The Pharisees were really known as the, you know, the religious group. And the lawyers, the interpreters of the law. It's not like Bernstein and family. It was a different type of lawyer, like a scribe, one who his position was to interpret the law. And Jesus had harsh words against them. Woe to you, Pharisees. But of his judgments and woes that he spoke to the Pharisees, look in verse 39. Of chapter 11. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, you know, he went to dinner with someone, and he's there and he's talking to the Pharisees gathered there. Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Jesus most likely picked up a cup or bowl or something, you know. You Pharisees, you're so concerned. And, you know, looking at the outside of the cup, you place such emphasis and, you know, so much effort and energy, time on the outside of the cup. But the inside of the cup is filled with greed and wickedness, evil and sin. and how Jesus pointed out, as he's pronouncing the woes on the Pharisees, about their hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. One who sacrifices the truth for appearance and how it looks outwardly. The word hypocrisy he uses in 12:1 is hypocrisis. I mean, acting under a mask. It's a deceit. You're acting really not like who you really are. You know, I know I repeat this phrase a lot, but it comes from one of the greatest thinkers of our time. And he says, be what you is and not what you ain't, because you is what you ain't and you ain't what you is. To be real and to be who we are in truth. And that's what Jesus stresses. And that's why he had harsh words against the Pharisees, because they weren't. They're putting on airs. They're acting, putting out a front, and acting like they who they really weren't inside. And as he's pronouncing these woes in chapter 11, you know, first he dealt with the outside and their appearance. And look at verse 42. As he continues to address their hypocrisy, he says, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You know, pronouncing a judgment on them because they were there, you know, and they're so careful, as they're kind of like a pharmacist. You know, you see a pharmacist up on the counter, you know, counting the pills. And they're there, you know, counting the little seeds and the herbs, you know, 9 for me, 1 for God, 9 for me, 1 for God. And so meticulous and careful. And yet, Jesus said, you pass by the more important things, love and justice, the real motive of their actions. Why he pronounced judgment on them for being hypocritical was, they weren't motivated by the right motive, love. God's Spirit. The only thing that counts, the only thing we'll be rewarded for, is God's love and God's Spirit. Any action we do in our own strength for the wrong reasons, for our own glory, will be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible tells us. But he pronounces judgment on them, you know, for their not acting according to the right motive. And then in verse 43, chapter 11, he continues his woes and the judgment on the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He says, woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Self-exalting, the Pharisees. You know, they wanted their face out there. They're promoting themselves. They're exalting themselves. They desired their own glory. They're pushing their own appearance in the outward and, you know, promoting themselves. And Jesus, earlier in the Beatitudes said, you know, let your light so shine that when men, before men, that when men see it, they glorify your Father in heaven. Not exalting God, but exalting themselves, you know, pushing them way forward, getting the best seats, getting the best, you know, area, self-exaltation. How he pronounces judgment on them for their self-exaltation. And then look in verse 44. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves that are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Interesting how, you know, in Matthew he talks about you whitewashed sepulchres. Tombs, you know, like you paint up the outside of the tombstone, you got the flowers on the outside, but don't you know the inside of the tomb is filled with dead men's bones? Again, the emphasis on the outside. But here he emphasizes something a little different. He says, you know, you cover up the grave. You know, you think about some of these construction sites where they, you know, excavate old Indian burial grounds. They didn't even know they were there. You get to the point where who you are and what's inside is unidentifiable. You know, there's so much stuff you put on top, on the face, on the mask, that who you really are, you know, you become alienated from. In truth, you hypocrites, as Jesus pronounces this, woes on these guys, you're covering up the truth. You're sacrificing the truth for appearance, what you look like, your own glory. When the inside is filled with wickedness. After pronouncing the woes on the Pharisees and the lawyers. He gets on the lawyers and the lawyers for keeping man from the truth, basically. But we're going to kind of focus on hypocrisy. Then he said to his disciples, now, beware of the leaven of the hypocrisy, or beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He said, you know, beware. Again, he doesn't warn needlessly, because hypocrisy is something that'll creep in. We're all subjected to. Things go our way, you know, and pride starts, the wind starts to blow. We puff up. But the idea Jesus uses as, you know, take heed, beware, watch out, take care. In chapter 11, Jesus uses a warning to take heed. In verse 35, he says, watch out or take care. What light, the light that's in you, that it does not cease, and it becomes darkness. Take heed, watch out, beware, that the light you've been granted from God, from Christ, from, you know, how he's illuminated your life, doesn't cease. Keep the lights on. I'll keep the light on. But here he's pronouncing, and he says, beware of the leaven of the, you know, of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven is in itself yeast. It's an expanding agent. The nature of yeast is that it grows. You get a little bit in there. You know, you take a little bit of yeast and you put it in the big batch of dough, and it ferments and permeates the whole batch of dough. It's got that growing process. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Beware of the, you know, the putting the mask on. Beware to be honest and, you know, not to be concerned with the outside when the inside isn't consistent. Beware that, you know, you're not exalting yourself and that's what's motivating you. Beware that you're not motivating, you know, in your actions about God with a false motive. And beware, especially beware, if you get so deep in, you know, the alienation from who you really are and what you act like. Be real. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, the growing and the formation, the expanding agent, the properties of leaven. Beware that it doesn't grow in you like a tumor. He goes on really to talk about, you know, that's the symptoms of hypocrisy. And he kind of like talks about it, or I see it as, it's kind of like a virus. You can get infected, and it can grow in you. And you can get worse, and there's more darkness, and you remain in the darkness. You don't deal with the darkness, the pockets of darkness in your heart. You don't get real with him. You're not before him. You're not opening yourself to him. Naturally, you know, the leavening agent of hypocrisy in human nature and the depravity of human nature puts a mask on. Be careful. Beware. Like a virus. The symptoms of the virus, you know, the woes and the judgment he pronounced on the Pharisees. He goes on to really kind of break down things. Jesus desires to teach us, inform us, instruct us. He wants us to know the truth of God, the truth of his grace and his mercy and his love. He wants us to understand that we can recognize and acknowledge him, who he is, that we will respond to his love. He's so loving and good. And he breaks it down. You know, it's logical. As he goes on in this passage, talking to his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, he goes on to say, you know, it's really illogical when you think it through to put a mask on. Or it's illogical when you think it through not to live for Jesus. And he gives the reasons why. You know, it's illogical to not take off the mask. If you follow the course to the end of a life of a hypocrisy or a life of sin or a life of darkness, it's a dead end. And really that's what he exemplifies. In verse 2, chapter 12, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. We can try to cover things up, but it'll come to the light. It will be known. In verse 3, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. It's going to be illuminated. It's illogical to stay in darkness. It's illogical to live in sin. It's illogical to think it through, to have a mask on and not be consistent with what's going on inside. Because it's all going to be revealed. It's all going to be manifested, Jesus says. In Psalm 139, when David was trying to cover his sin with Bathsheba, you know, he finally comes to the acknowledgement that, man, I got to confess this sin. I got to come before God with the truth. He, proclaims in Psalm 139, he says, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the day shines as the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Nothing's hidden from him. It's inconsistent. It's illogical to have darkness, have sin. He sees everything. He sees what we do. And he says, you know, if you're in the inner rooms and you speak something, it's going to be shouted from the rooftops. It's going to be manifested. So the secrets you think are secret, he's got a handle on. Yesterday, we went to dinner at a place, Packard's, on Van Dyke, just south of 22. And the guy had a good, spread. It was good food. And the green beans, man, I don't know what was on there, but it was good. So I see him restocking, and I went over there and I say, hey, what's your secret? You know, what's the secret ingredient you're putting on them green beans? And he looks up at me. He was kind of squatted down. He says, can you keep a secret? I said, yeah. He says, so can I. But no secret will be kept. Everything we think's in secret and in darkness, he's going to illuminate. It's illogical. It's ridiculous to live in sin, to hold on in darkness, and not to open our heart before him. Not to take off the mask, not to be consistent and real who you are. No secrets. You know, the gossip, the talking behind someone's back, it'll all be illuminated. Now, all seen now before him, he says the night is like the day. He sees everything. It's like lit up. He says you can be in that secret room. That room he talks about, the closet or the inner room, is the room where the treasure was kept. I mean, it's the, you know, the seeker-most inner chamber, likened to your heart, the innermost part of your being, who you really are, who I really am. It's stupid. It's illogical. Doesn't make sense not to be consistent, to hide, to keep a mask on, to be a hypocrite. What this doesn't mean will be shouted from the housetops is our sins that are forgiven. You know, the Bible clearly, you know, explains that he puts our sins behind his back. He casts them in the sea of forgetfulness, and then he posts a no fishing sign. That's not what's going to be shouted. It's the ones that we keep in darkness. It's the one we hold on to in the inner chambers of our life. He said, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. It grows like a tumor, like a cancer. It's like a virus. And it'll get so bad to where you get alienated from who you are. And he goes on to talk about how it's illogical not to, you know, come to him and take off the mask. Those who continue to choose to live in a lie. There's a proverb, an old Dutch proverb. Een, though the lie runs ear so fast, the truth her overtakes at last. Everything will be exposed. All the lies, what's done in secret, our hearts, what we're trying to cover up, the shame, the guilt. He calls us to open our hearts to him. Take off the mask. Don't be like the, you know, the hypocrites or the Pharisees. Don't live in darkness. In Romans, the Bible tells us, Paul teaches us, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, the day when everything will be judged and seen and illuminated, we'll face one day. It makes no sense to live in darkness or keep on a mask, to live in hypocrisy, in the inner rooms, in the inner chamber. What's whispered will be shouted from the root. You know, you talk about a scandal. Think about going into heaven, you know, and whether conscious or unconscious. I mean, because really the implication is you can become unconscious. So it gets so bad or rooted in you or deep-seated in you, you become alienated from the truth of who you are. Sin is deceptive. And yet you go into heaven and talk about the scandal. Think about, the whistleblower shouted from the rooftop the truths about who we are. And why Jesus, gives instruction how, think this through. It's so illogical not to live for Jesus, not to open your heart to him. He goes on and gives the cause of this virus, as it were, hypocrisy. In verse 4, chapter 12, he says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more to do that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." The fear of man is the cause of hypocrisy. Being so concerned about what someone else thinks is what would cause me to cover up or have a mask. Jesus addresses the fear of man, and really not just addressing it, but how to overcome it. He says, making a distinction between the fear of God and the fear of man, or the fear of man and the fear of God, he says, don't fear those who kill the body. You know, this is easy to say. Don't be afraid of those who can kill your body. But in the truth of what he's saying, it's impactful. Don't be afraid of those who can kill your body, but that's all they can do. You know, on the physical realm, you know, we have a body, you know, and it's good for, 100,000 miles. It's only good for 72 or to 84, whatever years if you pump it, full of juice and you take care of yourself, go to the gym, you'll get a few, extra years out of your body. But the truth is, we're limited and it's temporary, our body. And Jesus said, don't fear those that who can destroy or can burn or can kill your body. But fear him who has the power, exousia, the right, to cast you into hell. Does Jesus, cast some into hell? It's by choice one ends up in hell. But fear him, fear God, who reigns over eternity. See, how to overcome fear is to get a handle on the truth of fear. There's the fear freedom. We fear God, it brings freedom to us. The freedom of the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible tells us. But he makes this distinction in really how to overcome the fear of man. And it's by the true aspect of our nature, the realization of our physical body, temporary. Who we really are is eternal. And our spirit and our soul is eternal. Our body is temporary. He said, don't fear those who are on the realm in this life. We're to work out our own salvation. This is how Jesus is telling us how to be free. I don't have this done. We learn. We work it out. But the realization of eternity and the truth of our spirit and our soul going on forever. And he who has the power brings understanding, freedom of this virus, or how to overcome fear, the cause of the virus. He who has authority over us, the recognition. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The realization that we're answering to a higher authority. We're all accountable before Jesus Christ. If I'm in that mindset and realization or reality, I'm not going to have the fear of man. I'm going to have a fear of God. And the fear of God will free me from the fear of man. And take the mask off, because what's important? You know, he gives us, you know, not only the symptoms and the causes of hypocrisy, but the freedom and how to overcome the fear, how to overcome the cause. And we have to settle it in our mind who we're going to, you know, answer to. You know, am I going to answer to, do I want the approval of man or do I want his approval? Am I going to answer to other men, peer pressure, or what others think? Am I going to live for that? Or am I going to settle in my life who will run my life? You know, Jesus Christ. I'm going to answer to him. I'm going to give an account to him anyways, and everything's going to be shouted and brought into the light. Makes good sense. You know, settle in my mind, in my life, who I bow before, who I live for, who I'm going to live for. Myself, my glory, how I look, or the Lord of the inside of the cup. The Bible tells us that he desires truth in the inward parts. That's where he meets us and we meet him. The Bible says, my spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. It's how we communicate, how we relate. It's based upon the truth of who I am, not how I look or how I appear or how I act or what I do, but the truth of what's happening inside. Then there's a motivational factor. This is the good part. You know, he kind of gives the, you know, beware of the hypocrisy of the, you know, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of this. It spreads. It's cancerous. It's sin. It's darkness. And we're all subject to it. You know, in different ways, we can get, it can creep up in us. He gives us the causes of it and how to overcome the fear of the cause. But then he gives us why we should, the motivational factor. Kind of an inspiration to face our fears. You know, it's based upon how much God loves us. I love how, you know, I forgot what professor or theologian or profound thinker, you know, was asked, what's the most important thing that's happened or, you know, inspired you in life? And the truth, you know, he came up with is the truth, you know, it's the ultimate truth, is that Jesus loves me. And that's the motivational factor. He loves us. You know, it's hard to really, in all truth, who really loves you? I mean, who really, really loves you? How many people love you? And how do they love you? No one loves us like Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. And that's the instruction he gives. Hey, man, I'll give you a motivational talk. Why you should take off your mask, why you should live for me, why you should bow your knee before me, why you should open your heart and trust me, because I love you. In verse 4, chapter 12, he says, I say to you, my friends, how he shares, you know, that relationship with his disciples, you know, coming down on the same level as us, my friends, as a friendship. Later on, it's even closer. Brotherhood. It's a family. Here he addresses them as friends. Look in verse 32. Later on, as he talks about his affection for them, he says, do not fear, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love you. You know, you're my friends and you're my little flock. I think of, you know, the grandchildren at the funeral home in that cry room, in the kids' room, you know, how much I love them. And that's, you know, just a little scratch and sniff compared to what, how much he loves us. He's, oh, my little, these are my kids, man. And I love them. And they look in my eyes and I look, oh, I love them. And yet, how much you know, that's how he looks at us. Oh, you little flock, I love you. How much God desires to give you the kingdom. How much do I love you? You're my friends. I love you. I've laid down my life for you. The motivational factor. In verse 6, chapter 12, notice he goes on to explain how much he loves. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? He first mentions, you know, like he does in Matthew, he says, not a sparrow falls out of the tree without, you know, notice of God. He says, putting value, how much value is placed on five sparrows? Five sparrows. He said two farthings, two copper coins in the New King James, but it really means one-eighth of a day's wage. You know, there's a value on them little sparrows that God places on them. And he, likening it to how much more, you know, does God love us? And not one of them, he goes on, I will show you whom you should fear, but in verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. And how much he value, you know, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. He loves me, and he loves you too. He loves us. And him describing and instructing his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't go that way. Don't do that. Keep your heart open towards me. Don't let it creep in. Deal with it. Bring it in the light. How much value he places on us, how much he loves us. The hairs on our head are numbered. Then he gives that, you know, because of how intimate the details he knows about us. I heard Sandy Adams talking about research tells us that a blonde-headed man has 140,000 hairs of head on their head. A brunette, 120, 125, and a redhead in the 90,000, maybe 95,000. I don't know who counted them, but I guess that's like the average. How many hairs are on our head, he realizes. You know, and he knows how many, how he knows the very details about our heart and our life, how much he loves us. He's got our number. What's your number? You know, it's interesting if you think about it. What's your number? I think I'm probably sporting about 25,000. I lost about 3/4 of it. But he knows. He knows. At the funeral, I was walking around, and this is the first time this has happened to me. I got to lose some weight, man. I'm looking down. I'm missing a button on my suit. I popped a button. Then the mortician there, he says, hey, is this your button? He says, no. At first, I noticed. He says, I know where your button is. So he brings me my button. So I only got one button buttoned, and later on, phew, I lost two buttons. And he knows I lost two buttons. He knows I'm overweight. He knows how much I weigh. He knows I gotta watch what I eat. He knows the hairs on our head. He loves us. He's concerned about us intimately. In the details of our heart and our life, he's got our number. But the truth, how he, you know, breaks down to beware, that it's logical, you know, to live for Jesus Christ, and giving us how to overcome the symptoms of fear by fearing God in a right relationship, giving account to God, living in His presence, living with a fear of God, frees us from the fear of man, and he turns it around. You know, to take off the mask. Later on here, look in verse 31. We're not going to go into this deeper today, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, turn it around. The opposite of putting a mask on is opening up our heart to Jesus Christ and living for Jesus Christ. And how we live for Him is inside out. He's the God of the inside of the cup. The Bible says that the Lord desires truth in the inward parts. He desires us to be what we is before Him, to be real and honest before Him, to live in the light, and that the inside be consistent with the projection of who we are and the outward appearance. But He turns it around. You know, if you turn it around, it's God is to be first, you know, in the fear of God, not man in the fear of man. You know, it's God and then others and then self. It's opposite from the inside out. He desires us to live. And then in verse 8, we're going to close. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also confesses before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God, living consistently with the inside and in touch with Him. You know, it's reciprocal. We stick up for Him here. We live for His cause. We talk about Jesus. We share Jesus. We live for Jesus. He's going to stick up for us when we get to heaven. You know, it ain't going to be a scandal. It's going to be a welcome reception. Let's stand. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This, you know, chapter and this portion of Scripture, he gets into just a lot of different truths and instructions. You know, it's not, you know, following one main thought, but he talks about several things. It'll probably spend a week or two in chapter 12. But let's pray. Lord, we do ask that we would take heed and watch out and take care and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And Lord, we desire to be consistent before you, that the light that you've granted us wouldn't cease, nor the light become darkness. Lord, that we'd be open before you. And who we are in the inward, in the truth of who we are, who you see us, and how we are before you, Lord, be consistent. How we walk and live in this life, we exalt you and not ourself. We point to you. We wouldn't cover up what's going on. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. Jesus loves us. And Lord, let us know and sense and understand your love and motivate us to be real and open up our heart before you. And Lord, we pray that you'd have your way in and through us. And do, Lord, cause us to confess you before men, to live for you and to live in your light, open our mouth, exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen. Confessing, you know, the word for confession, you know, it means, you know, to be in agreement with, to be in agreement with Jesus before men. And the word for witness, it really means martyr. It speaks of how we live. The way we live, not so much what we say, but who we are before men. Be consistent with who he is in our heart, who we are before him. Amen.